Good morning, friends. How are we? Good, good, good. How does this thing work? There we go. I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited to preach God's word this morning. Just give me 1 second. You guys are going to be like, what is she doing? Don't worry, you will find out. Anybody hungry this morning? So hungry. Can you smell it? Just saying, when I picked this up this morning, I was like, how am I not going to eat this? Which goes very well with my sermon this morning. All right, so as you can see, my title and my hair, my title is Cravings, and we're just going to talk about cravings and how cravings come. Oh, it's so good. You guys feel any worse? Are you like, she's disgusting. Why is she talking with her mouth full? Peter's embarrassed of me, always. We all have cravings, right? We all have things in our life. Let me try and get this down. Why is it that the things that taste so good are so bad for us, right? How come when I'm craving a nice juicy burger, I have to think about how many calories I'm actually putting into my body? Food, for the purpose of this sermon, is going to be referring to our sin, all right? So our cravings can look in different ways and different things. In society today, both young and old, we will notice that there is a growing appetite for the meals of this world. The things of this world seem so inviting. They seem so attractive. There's temptations all around us. Think about the things that are most tempting to you. So as I'm speaking this morning, your craving might not be a teen burger from A&W, which is mine because I worked there since I was 15 years old, and it's one of those go-to things for me. But what is the thing in your life that you crave? A sinful thing in your life that you crave? We all have different temptations. We all have different cravings. It could be food, it could be drinking, it could be gossip, it could be pornography, lying, video games, money, you name it. There's so many things that this world has out there for us that is drawing us to those things against anything that would be good. For me, we'll have a confession time. I have to admit, I absolutely love watching movies and TV. I love it, and I don't love that I love it, but I love escaping reality into someone else's crazy reality that is actually very, very unrealistic. Because sometimes we're going through things in our own lives, and sometimes I go through things and I'm like, you know what, I just really don't want to deal with this today, so I'm just going to go put on some crazy action movie that is completely unrealistic, just so I can escape my reality. So that's something that I do, unfortunately, to escape reality, and it's one of those things that I do that's unhealthy for me, flat out, right? I think we can all admit when we're trying to escape our real problems with something else, that's extremely unhealthy, and that's kind of what happens with sin, is we're trying to escape something, or we're trying to fill a void, or we're trying to do something to fill that emptiness that we have, and we're trying to find that thing, which are often very unhealthy for us. Here's the thing, although we desire to do good and to be good and make wise choices for ourselves, we are filled with a sinful nature. And Paul says that it causes us to do what we don't want to do. So this is one of those fun scriptures that's almost like a riddle, but let's read it together. Romans 7:14-20. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand for myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But I know that what I am doing is wrong, and this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Do you like that? I do what I don't want to do. I don't do what I want to do. It's an interesting dichotomy in our lives. But before I continue, why don't we pray together and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts this morning. Dear God, you are amazing. You are worthy of all of our praise. And I love that song this morning. Bring us back to the heart of worship, Lord Jesus. Bring us back to the simple things of your love, your grace, and your mercy, Lord God. I pray that as I speak this morning that you would use me, Lord God, that you would use the words that are coming from my mouth to speak to your people, Lord Jesus, and to speak to my heart this morning, Lord Jesus. And I just pray that you would allow us to leave here changed, Lord God, that we wouldn't be the same people that came in this morning, but that we would be challenged and that we would be changed, Lord Jesus. We love you and we thank you for everything that you've done for us. In your awesome name I pray. Amen. So we all desire to make right choices. We're all striving to be good people. We desire to be holy, but unfortunately, we aren't holy. We never will be holy, and that sinful nature will always be in us, and it's something that we're always going to be struggling with. So the Bible tells us a story of a woman who meets Jesus simply by going to a well to drink. And Jesus does what he does so many times, is he takes a moment and a chance to illustrate to this woman about his kingdom and how it works. So it's a little long, but let's read John 4. We're going to start at verse 4. So if you have your Bibles, you can open it up or you can just look at the screen. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone to the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I don't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to him, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You're sitting there and all you wanted to do was get a drink of water. And this man just drops a bomb on you that he is the living water. He is the one who came to save her. There's three things in this passage that we can look at. And the first thing is, we're always going to have an appetite or a thirst for sin. It's always going to be there. Have you ever seen those eating competitions where, like, I saw this one and there was this big old man and he was having like all the hot dogs in the world. But then there was this tiny little girl and she totally whooped his butt. And I just say, like, she was like dipping the hot dogs in water. Then she legit just like shoved them in her mouth. And then like all of a sudden it was gone. And the guy was like struggling. His cheeks were out to here. And she totally beat him. It's disgusting, but it's actually like a sport. Did you know that? Eating is a sport, so we can do it. If anybody wants a bite, it's a sport. Also, have you ever seen the Sprite Challenge? I know younger folks have seen the Sprite Challenge on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, but what they do is the challenge is to drink a whole bottle of Sprite all in once without stopping. And what it does is very, very gross after, is people cannot control it. It actually starts to hurt their body and they have to burp it up. So if you want to have a fun laugh later, Google that on YouTube. That's for free. Are you a refill person when you go to a restaurant? I choose my restaurants whether they have free refills or not. Peter hates it because he always wants to go to restaurants that don't. And I'm like, oh, I'm just really not feeling that today because they don't have refills. It's true. It's true. Have you ever stood in a buffet line and the person in front of you and they're like, their plate is like this and you're just thinking to yourself, you know you can come back, right? Like, you don't have to fill it that high. You can come back and get a refill if you want. Here's the thing. No matter how many refills we get, no matter how many times we go up to the buffet, we're always going to be hungry or thirsty again, right? If I drink 10 bottles of water and I do, you know, those big jugs and you have to get this many ounces in a day, if I do that, the next morning I need to do it again because I'm going to be thirsty again. So I eat my 3 square meals, right? Breakfast, lunch, and supper. I'm satisfied. The next morning when I get up for breakfast, guess what? My stomach is now growling again because we need to replenish. We need to continue eating and we need to, because we're going to be thirsty, we're always going to be hungry. In the passage Romans 7 verse 18, Paul talks about an appetite we have that is very similar to this. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. He calls this appetite that we have for sin our sinful nature. The need for more, whether it's good for us or not, there is a need for more. There's a part of that us that simply has an appetite for sin. No matter how often we give in and feed our sinful nature, it will never satisfy us. And in the end, it just leaves us disappointed and wanting more. So do you think after, if I finished watching that action movie or whatever movie, do you think after my problem has disappeared? No, it's probably compounded because now I'm all amped up about this action movie or this romance movie or whatever I've just watched. The problem is still there, and now I just have this fluff in my brain, right? Our realization should be that so many of us have developed a habit of returning to the same food, the same well, the same refill station. We've continued to go back to it all the time, chasing after that same refill again and again, trying to chase down that thing that is going to satisfy us. It could be acceptance. It could be lust. It could be anger. Whatever it is, we're falling daily to our appetites of sin. You know what's hard for me? Social media. I don't know if you guys are on Instagram. I don't go on TikTok because I find it's a dangerous place for me to go. But even I go on my Instagram, we post things on Warden, so I want to make sure that I'm sharing those. There's lots of things that come up on social media. But the thing that bothers me most about social media is I compare myself to other people. I don't know if anybody else does that, but you're like, oh, I went to high school with that person. Look at how good their life is. Oh, look at their house. Oh, my house isn't that nice. Or, oh, look at that pastor. Oh, she's such a good preacher. Or he's doing this and he's doing that. The comparison game is so dangerous. And for me, that's why I don't go on social media very often, because for me, the comparison game is very, very bad for me. And so I don't know why we often do go back, because we're curious about how other people are living, or we're curious, but we remember that they're only putting out their best life, right? I'm not going to post how gross I look in the morning and be all grumpy on social media. No, I'm going to make sure my hair is good and my makeup's good or whatever, and I'm wearing a cute outfit so that when I do my posts, when we do our real lives, I'm not up there doing my real life for Warden in my worst clothes and no makeup on, or on my hair in like a side ponytail out to here or something like that. We try and we do our best to look good. But for me, that well that unfortunately I keep going back to might be social media. It might be TV. It might be whatever. So when you're thinking about these things, what you're doing, what you need to remember is that we're always going to have an appetite for sin. Some sins can be visible, right? So my sin might not be visible to you guys because you're not in my home. You're not on my iPad what I'm watching. You're not on my TV what I'm watching. So that is not a visible sin for you. Social media, you can't see what I'm looking at. You can't see what I'm scrolling on. Just so you know, I have good filters. Just so you don't think that I'm looking at really bad stuff. It's probably mostly other people living their life and washing dishes when I should be washing my dishes. But, you know, that's life, right? But some sins are very visible. Like, we can see sin, right? You can see murder. You can see anger. You can see hate. You can see violence. You can see alcohol abuse, drug abuse. You can see those things. There's outward sins, but some sins we only know about, the things that we hide from other people. No matter what, in case you didn't know, sin is sin. Whether other people can see it or not, sin is sin. So this leads to my next point, is that there's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to hide from our sins. John 4:16-18 reads, "He told her, 'Go call your husband and come back.' 'I have no husband,' she replied, thinking maybe she was going to trick him. Jesus said to her, 'You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband.'" What you just said is quite true. Jesus asked the woman at the well to bring him to her husband, and then he continues to read her mail. He continues to call her out on her sin. He says to her, "Look, I see what's going on here. You can keep going back to the well or to the refill line and filling your life with these meaningless relationships with guys, but you will always be thirsty for more. I offer you living water that will never leave you thirsty." He seen her sin. She thought that, well, he doesn't know me. This is the first time we're meeting. He doesn't know that I've been married five times and now I'm just living with some guy. But he does. He sees it. He knows it. He knew all about her sinful nature and her appetite that she was craving. He knows what we crave too. He knows our sinful nature. He knows the things that we think are no big deal because no one else knows about them. I don't know if you've ever thought that way. I don't know if you've ever been like, you know, it's just one little lie. It's not going to hurt anybody. It's just one more drink. I'm not drunk. It's just one swear word. It's not even the bad swear word. I didn't say the Lord's name in vain. It's just one thing. It's just one burger that I'm eating in my car so nobody can see it, but then it will be revealed when the 20 pounds comes back on my body. Right? He knows the things that we struggle with. He's not here to make us feel bad about ourselves. I'm not here to make you feel bad about yourself. But he is going to be straight with us. He's going to call us out on the things in our life. He's not going to beat around the bush. He actually wants us to be like him. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to get rid of those things in our lives. We can't hide from our sin. We can't hide our sin from God. He knows and sees all. We are fooling ourselves if we think it's no big deal because we didn't get caught. A lot of people live their life, as long as I don't get caught, I'll be good. And I just, at the end of the day, I'll just ask Jesus to forgive me. It's going to be all okay. But then we go back to the refill station. Oh, it's okay. God, I'm so sorry. Forgive me again. I stumbled. I'm so sorry. And we go back to the buffet line, to the thing that we think is going to satisfy us. Our sinful nature and our cravings will always be there. But God does promise to give us something more attractive, something more fulfilling, a life with him that really satisfies, which is my third point. There is only one thing that will quench our thirst, which is living water. Our sinful nature is like a thirst that can never be quenched, a craving that will never go away. There's only one thing that quenches that thirst or satisfies our cravings, and that's the living water that Jesus provides. So John 7, 38 to 39a. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. So living water here is a metaphor for the Holy Spirit, which Jesus offers to give to those who believe in him, bringing them into a fellowship of God and quenching their spiritual thirst. It's linked to the promise of everlasting life, which is offered through faith in Jesus and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Just soak that in, right? Living water, the Holy Spirit. We get to have fellowship with God, and he quenches our spiritual thirst, a promise of everlasting life. The verse encourages us to recognize our spiritual thirst and to seek Jesus for the true satisfaction that he offers. So that emptiness that we feel, that we're trying to fill with all the sinful nature, we need to understand that's an actual spiritual emptiness that we're feeling, that only God can fill, that only the Holy Spirit can fill. Only coming and surrendering to Jesus and accepting into our life and that letting that living water flow through us is the only way to quench that thirst. So the concept of living water is expressed in Hebrew by mayim chayim. All right, I might have butchered that, but mayim chayim. So mayim equals water, chayim equals living or life. It actually translates to constantly being in the state of refreshing, replenishing, and refilling. Oh, it's a constant state of refreshing, replenishing, and refilling. So if we're constantly in a state of refreshing, replenishing, or refilling our lives with the living water, it will be easier to say no to our sinful natures and to our sinful cravings. The Holy Spirit will help us to choose what is right. Our cravings will change from a simple to holy because we're constantly refreshing, replenishing, and refilling ourselves with the living water. We need to be constantly in communion with the Holy Spirit. We need to let him fill us daily, refresh us daily, replenish and refill us daily. We were singing the song, Holy Spirit, and let us become more aware of your presence. I feel like every morning that should be our song. Let us experience, it's gone, the glory of your goodness, right? We need to be replenished. We need to be refilled. We need to allow that to come into our hearts, into our lives daily. When we step out of that routine, guess what comes back into our life? That sinful nature creeps back in. But if we're constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, if we're constantly replenished, there's no room for that sin in our hearts. Amen? There's absolutely no room left if we're filled and overflowing with the living water. If we go back to verses 13 and 14, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So there's three conclusions that we can come from these passages of Scripture. The first is the Spirit, or the living water, gives us life. Just as water replenishes and refreshes us, you know, we have to drink water to stay alive, right? The water replenishes and revitalizes a thirsty person. The Spirit gives life to the believer. The Spirit revitalizes the followers of Christ. The second thing that we can see is that the Spirit, or the living water, is active, all right? Have you ever seen a gross, nasty pond? Like you're like supposed to be all, oh, this is a beautiful pond to sit by, but you could see all the scum and everything that's in there. Well, guess what? The living water is one of those beautiful springs that's so cold that if you put your feet in it, it hurts. But it's like, it's always flowing. It's always moving. It's never going to be stagnant. It's never going to be still. It's always going to be flowing, and it's always going to be fresh for every one of us. The third thing is believers, that's us, we are channels of the Spirit to work. In verse 14, it says that the water would be in them and well up and overflow. And then in verse John 7:38, it says that it flows from within them. Guess what? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will never flow from us unless we're being replenished from him. If we're hoping to speak into someone's life and we haven't been communing with God, we haven't been allowing God to refill us, that might not be the most fruitful conversation, because our overflowing will not be coming from the Holy Spirit. It's going to be coming from our own experiences and our own situations. But if we're allowing the Spirit to overflow us every single day, then our lives are that channel. So that river is flowing into that life, into that life. They're going to see it. They're going to feel it. They're going to sense it. And they're going to be like, what does she have? What does he have? Because they shouldn't be this happy. Their life isn't going well right now. Well, then we get to say, guess what? It's the Holy Spirit that lives in me, because I believe in a Savior who came and died on the cross for my sins. He came to save me from all my sins. And he came for you as well. And that overflowing will be available to them as well. When we are filled and refreshed, it will overflow to others around us who will also need to be filled. You know, the saying, what goes in must come out. I know that's kind of gross. But what comes in our brains, in our hearts, will come out, right? So whatever we put or allow into our minds, our hearts, our bodies, eventually comes out in our thoughts, our words, our actions. So if I'm filling myself with other people going on social media, and I am like comparing myself and I'm putting myself down, guess what's going to come out? Insecurity. Another thing that's going to come out is I'm going to be jealous, and I'm going to be envious, and I'm not going to be kind, because I'm not going to feel good about myself. If all I do is keep going back, it's just one little drink, or if it's just one little smoke, it's just one little lie, it's just one whatever it is, It's just a relationship. I'm not going to marry this person. They're not the person I'm going to be with forever. I know that they don't love Jesus, but that's okay. It's just. We're always going to come up with those things. We're always going, but you know what? It all has to come out. So if it's all negative going in, it's all negative that's going to come out. So let the Holy Spirit be what's coming in so that He is what's coming out of our lives. Amen? We have a choice to make today. We have a choice to make every single day. We keep trying to satisfy our own cravings with earthly things, or we can satisfy our cravings and appetites with the living water of Jesus. Am I saying this is easy? No, we have super, super busy lives. I just had my pastor's cluster meeting, and I was talking about, you know, how does my relationship with God fit in my everyday walk? I have to get the kids up for school. I have to make their lunch. I have to get them on the bus. Then I have a commute to a church. Then I have a to-do list that's a mile long to get done at work. And then I come home. Then I got to make supper. And then I got, you know, we all have these things. So where does the Holy Spirit have room in that? In every choice that we make, the Holy Spirit has room. So when I'm waking up and I say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me, this day is yours. Guess what? When I'm putting the kids lunch together, instead of grumbling that I have to make another lunch, I can say, Dear God, please be with my kid while they're at school. Protect them. Keep them safe. Love on them. In everything that we do, on my commute, when I'm chatting with my husband, who usually does most of the talking, because he's been up for 4 hours and I just woke up an hour ago. But in those moments, what can we do in those moments? We can make sure that the Holy Spirit is in the midst of those things. Does that mean that I'm super spiritual and I'm constantly preaching, praying in tongues and I'm constantly... No, I'm just inviting the Holy Spirit into my life. In every walk, every step that I take, I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and to be in charge of my cravings. So that when I want to do something that I shouldn't do, the Holy Spirit is there reminding me of what His Word says. What His Word says about comparison and envy. What His Word says about what I'm putting in my mind and what I'm putting in my heart. If we're constantly in those times of refreshing, the Holy Spirit will help us. Does that mean I'm not going to fail? No, of course, we're all going to stumble, but not as many times. And it's not going to be habitual. It's not going to be me running back to the refill station all the time to fill that void, because Jesus has filled that void in my heart and in my life. So I would like us to challenge ourselves this morning. And I know we don't all like to come up to the front. We don't all like to, you know, be forward or come to altars or stuff like that. But I really want to challenge us this morning. And maybe there's someone here who is hearing this for the first time and hasn't even accepted the living water in their life, hasn't accepted Jesus into their life yet. So I want to invite you, if you have never accepted Jesus into your heart, that you would speak to Him this morning, that you would come to Him and you would cry out to Him and you would ask Him to come and fill that void that you've been trying to fill with other things. If there is, you know, you've been serving the Lord, but you're just like, I could use a really fresh commitment right now. I could use a really fresh refilling of the Holy Spirit into my life. I want to encourage you to do that this morning. If you need to surrender a sinful nature, maybe there's multiple like me, like maybe it's just one thing that you keep struggling with. I want you to surrender it today. You do not need to leave this building today with any burdens on your shoulders, any heaviness on your heart, because you are in a place right now where you get to surrender that to Jesus. And you get to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to fill that void this morning. So whether you're doing it in your seat, but I want to encourage you, because sometimes it takes that bold step for us to actually make that commitment to do it. Like with sin is hidden, our hidden sin, maybe in our seats, if I just stay in my seat and I pray about it, there's no real commitment to make that change because it's just me doing it. But if we make a bold declaration that I have something in my life, I either need Jesus, I need a refilling, or I need to surrender something to Him, I can boldly come and say, I need to surrender this to Jesus. And then you can keep yourself accountable at that point. And maybe we're not asking anybody to pray for you, but maybe you can share with another brother or sister in Christ and you can say, I've been really struggling. Could you be my accountability partner in this? I think that it's important that we have people in our life that we can count on, that will carry us and that will share our burdens with us and who will pray for us. So if you need that this morning, please find that as well. So we're just going to sing. And while they're singing, I just want to invite you to come and to surrender, ask whatever you need. If it's in your seat, there's no judgment. But if you do want to take that bold declaration, I want to encourage you to come and do that right now.